Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
All right, guys. Welcome back. EYL. This is a state of emergency edition. Yep. You know, we're talking, going back and forth for the last couple of days, and we got a lot of dope fire episodes in the vault that teach people a variety of different tactics, how to get their bread right, how to you know, become entrepreneurs and navigate the field. That's what EYL is here for. But we're also a business podcast on a broader scale. We've touched on almost every single topic. So, you know, having a conversation with Troy a couple of days ago, in the midst of everything that's going on in this world, in our country, I'm like, you know, I don't think we should actually, you know, put these episodes out. Maybe we should just do like a state of emergency last minute. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, addressing some of the topics.
We would have been remiss if we didn't address what's going on in our community and what's going on in the world, really. So when you called me, we had the same thought. You're just like, yo, it wouldn't sit right with me if we didn't address it, if we didn't take some time to really dive deep into this so that we can make everybody aware, which is what we're known for. So
we was on the same page, and hopefully, you know, we're going to shed the light on some things today.
Yeah, so we're going to tell you, and we was kind of going back and forth because we're still a business podcast, and that's all. And I feel like everybody has their lane and their way to contribute to society. Yeah. And, you know, our platform is to provide business information, which is extremely valuable.
Yeah,
but definitely. We like, how do we tie it in with the social justice? So I think we did a great job of actually tying the two in,
yeah,
and talking about it from business standpoint.
He was adamant about it. I said, yo, let's just go no holds barred. Yeah, let's go no holds barred. Yeah, let's just speak our mind. Let's just tell the people how we feel. And he was like, nah, we can keep it business. I'm like, all right, man, fine.
I think it's important because there's always a money play behind it. And it's That's like true. Not just to inform people, but to actually let people know how they can make a change.
Yeah, definitely.
And how they can actually invest and make some money and do it in the right way, yeah, and different things of that nature. So
I'm glad we did, because it was like I said all the time, like, we learned through the process. So there's things that I uncovered that I had no idea about. So now we're going to do what we do best and put it in the language to help everybody else understand it.
Yeah, for sure. So this is going to be a special episode. We're going to go over a variety of different topics, and like I said, it's going to inform you. It's also going to educate you, and hopefully people can use this to bring about real change, not just to listen to it and just be educated, mm-hmm, but to actually enforce new policy, enforce change, and this is hopefully can lead to some solutions. So before we start, I just wanted to take a moment of silence for Big George Floyd, Eric Gardner, Amadou Diallo, Freddie Gray, Sean Bell, Orlando Castillo, Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland. It's too many, Walton, unfortunately. Sterling. Yeah, it's too many people for us to name. That's just a few of black people that have been killed by the police in the last, you know, decade or so. So, just wanted to take a moment of silence for that. All right, so we're gonna get right into it. You know, obviously the times that we're in right now, as I said, rest in peace to George Floyd. If you saw that, there's no justification for what happened with that. So, you know,
you should feel hurt.
It's one of the few cases where I've seen where there's not even one person trying to justify. Like, there's always like, well, what did he do? He was resisting. There's mm-hmm. always more to this. I haven't heard one person that's actually said like, this is justified.
Right.
I haven't heard anybody trying to justify it. It's just like trying to justify other things, but I haven't heard anybody trying to justify this. So it's like, it brings up a larger issue of police brutality. And police brutality is not something that doesn't exist. Like, yeah, I don't care.
That's not new to us.
Yeah, it's not. We're not going to act like it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. And I don't want to hear about, you know, there are good cops. That's not the point. Of course, there's some good cops. Of course, there's some good teachers. Of course, there's some good, like, that's not the point. The point is that there's a systematic problem of not only racism, but police brutality. And the reason why police brutality is an issue is because these are people that take an oath to serve and protect
right.
the community. So if you take an oath to serve and protect the community, it's not the same as a gang member killing another gang member. Like, these people don't take oaths. They're not paid. They don't have pensions.
Yeah.
So it's not the same. So I don't want to hear that. We're talking about police brutality.
Yeah.
There's times and places to talk about all other stuff, but right now we're talking about police brutality.
I spoke on a couple conversations, man, and shout out to KRS when he had the line, like, what's the difference between an overseer and an officer, right? So if we go back to the history of it, like, we've seen that. The overseer was to watch over the land, and if everyone act out of accordance, they were handled at that time. And if we look at it, right, you said serve and protect, but the officer, especially in our communities, has become the overseer. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, all right, earn your leisure. We talk about the money plays, and this is no different than anything else. I actually learned a lot of stuff doing research Definitely. On this. That's what I realized too, that we have become journalists, and we take our journalistic responsibility very serious. I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday researching. And I got excited because I got excited in learning the information. Like, I hope I can relay this in a manner that people.
Peeling back the layers, man.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm interested to actually, you know, have this conversation. So there's an economic play. There's an economic play behind police brutality. There's a huge, huge economic play. So every year, cities across the United States of America, small and large, they spend millions of dollars in police brutality claims. Because mm-hmm. it's like, this isn't common. This isn't new, right? Like, right. it happens all the time.
They know
common.
It's going to happen.
Right. Even if it's not to this extent where somebody gets killed, mm-hmm. somebody might get a black eye, somebody might break somebody's ribs. Like,
somebody might be wrongfully accused.
Yeah, it's a lot of police. But that's an issue too, but yeah. specifically police brutality.
Right, right, right.
So police brutality cases, there's millions of police brutality cases all over the country every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's settled with some compensation being paid.
Yeah.
And that can go from $1,000 to $100 million, like anywhere in between, right? It depends. Yep. So now what people don't fully understand, I think, is that there's billions of dollars that are paid to victims of police brutality every single
year. We hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a settlement for $40 million. This person got $25 million. Nobody thinks about it. They just hear the number. Nobody thinks about anything else. Where is this coming from?
Yeah. And the crazy, so Chicago in 2018, $113 million was paid to police brutality.
Yeah, misconduct. Settlements and judgments.
$113 million in just the city of Chicago in 2018.
1 year.
That's amazing. So it's like, where does this money come from? So this is now you start to peel back the layers. Because if it's like a movie, like you see the Instagram clips and it's like, okay, so now I feel like I'm actually a detective, right? Because yeah. It's like now you got to peel back the layers.
It's weird because at times, like when you hear these settlements, I remember when
Amadou Diallo
got the settlement, it was like, yo, it was $40 million or something of that sort. And it was like, that felt like a victory. It felt like, all right, well, he's been compensated for the abuse that he suffered. And then when you look at, like, wait, where did that money come from? It's like, wait, is this really a victory? Should we be celebrating that?
That's the crazy thing about it. Nobody ever thought about where the money comes from. So where does the money come from? The money comes from taxpayers, right? So taxpayers. So that's another thing about police officers. Police officers are public servants,
mm-hmm.
right? We pay, when I say we, taxpaying people of the United States of America pay the salaries and the retirement of the police department. All of that comes from tax dollars.
Yeah.
So now the taxpayers are paying for these payouts.
Right.
That's the first part that people need to fully understand. Yeah, it's like
even before the payout, right? They have no you got to understand that part before you even get to the settlement. You've had to go through a court case, right? There is no financial responsibility on the side of an officer during a police brutality case. So literally the taxpayers pay for their trial. So they're paying for the lawyers, they're paying for the judgments, and they're paying for the settlements. Like there is nothing that they have to do if the act is committed while they're on the job.
Yeah, that's a fact. So now the taxpayers pay for it. So it's like, all right. So now we got peel back even more layers.
Mm-hmm.
So now a lot of cities and towns, they have liability policies. So liability, it's like insurance pretty yep. much, right? So it's like, okay, any other insurance policy, you pay a premium. So like, let's say you have a $10 million liability policy. So your premium for that might be $250,000, mm-hmm. right? So taxpayers are paying the premium because that's where it comes from, the budget. So taxpayers paying $250,000 and then the liability company is paying the $10 million. So that's like, okay, if you get into a situation and you beat up a cop, if you're a cop and you beat up somebody, they sue. Now they win. So now the liability company is liable for that to pay that.
Right.
So they pay it, but ultimately the taxpayers still paid it in some sort because they actually paid the premium for the policy.
Right.
So, but that wouldn't be that bad.
I was about to say, let's
like,
go deeper.
It's like, all right, you're only paying. It's still bad.
Yeah.
Because it's like you are committing a crime. You are actually abusing somebody. And where even if it's a dollar or 10% of what's being paid, it's still we're still paying for a taxpayer. So that, but it's like, all right, it's still less. It's not like you're paying the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now you got to peel back even one more layer. So it's like, all right, what happens is that most of these cities, towns, and especially as more and more police brutality cases start to be reported, they don't have enough liability. Because you got to think about it, liability companies are a business as well. They're right. not just going
trying
just,
to give away your money.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they cap it. So now it's like there's not enough liability insurance to cover a lot of this, right?
So we need more money.
So now they need more money, additional money in addition to the liability. So where does that come from? So now they have to issue bonds.
Mm.
They have to have bonds, right? So it's like Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, small town in Pennsylvania.
Let's talk about
them. 2004, they settled a wrongful death lawsuit for $7.89 million. So $500,000 came from the insurance.
Right.
$7.39 million came from bonds. So the vast majority of it actually came from bonds.
Right. So bonds, in a sense, is like, listen, we're going to pay you back this money over a given amount of time with interest. Right. So a lot of times it could be 30 years. Sometimes it could be shorter. So we just got to understand that part, too. So literally a municipality is saying, listen, we don't have the money, but we'll get it back to you. They're going to raise that money from the good people who live in that city. So it's like, listen, the people who live in these areas, and a lot of times it's over-policed areas. So when we look at the cities, it's over-policed areas. When they're over-policed, there's going to be more incidents. There's going to be more altercations with law officials. So they already know, like, all right, well, we're going to set this budget aside. And if we don't have enough, we're going to get more from the taxpayers.
Yeah. And so what happens, what's going on now is that cities across the United States of America are going into massive debt because of what they're calling it, police brutality bonds. That's what they're pretty much.
Literally, if you Google it, that's what it says.
Police brutality bonds. So that's the crazy thing about the financial industry. They issue bonds for anything. There was bonds for mortgage-backed security for your home.
Yeah.
There's bonds for anything that you really get creative, you can issue a bond. So now they actually have police brutality bonds, right? So between 2008 and 2017, we did some research. L.A., $74 million. And was paid in police brutality bonds.
Yep.
The insurance, the interest on that was $18 million.
Yep.
To the holders of the bond, and taxpayers, it cost them $89 million.
Right.
So I just want people to understand that. So, all right, L.A. didn't have enough to pay police brutality cases.
Right. So those are the judgments and settlements.
Right. So over and above what they already have in their budget, or over and above the liability
and
insurance.
That's the scary part too. Like, we already are saying, listen, we have a budget for it. Let's keep going.
Yeah. So now they have to go to the financial markets and issue bonds worth $71 million, right? So they take out bonds for $71 million to pay this. Because if you know what a bond is, it's like somebody's loaning you money.
Mm-hmm.
For them loaning you money, you're paying it back over a course of time, but it's with interest. So now, the people that loaned them the money, people that loaned them $71 million, they got paid an interest of $18
million. We're going to talk about who they are, too, in a sec.
They made money. They made the people that issued the bonds made $18 million on the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
The taxpayers ended up paying for the whole thing because you have to pay for the bond and the interest.
Right.
So the taxpayers ended up paying $89 million.
Right. So you got the bond money, which is the 71, if we're talking about LA, and then you talk about the interest paid, so you combine those two, and that's what the bill is for the taxpayer.
Yep. Milwaukee, during that same time, $26 million in bonds, $3.7 million in interest. The taxpayers paid $29 million. Chicago. I don't know what's going on in Chicago.
Well, Chicago had a lot of high profile cases. One that comes to mind, and we're going to talk about a duration of time. So from like 2010 to 2018, we're talking almost $1 billion paid. They had the Laquan McDonald case where the young black kid was shot 16 times. And I believe the officer's name was Van Dyke or something like that, got sentenced to 6 years. There was a settlement in that case. So you got a couple of cases in Chicago that happened from 2010 to 2017. They had $709 million in bonds, $709 million. The interest paid on those bonds was $1 billion with a B. So the taxpayers get the bill for 1.7. There's a crazy part. There was this quote. I was like, yo, that is it. I was reading. It was like, they said this is like the equivalent of paying your rent with a credit card. Like, it's a temporary solution, but the root of the problem is you don't have enough money to pay your bills.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, because if you look at it, like, Milwaukee paid $3 million interest on a $26 million bond. LA paid $18 million on a $71 million bond. They're small. The interest is smaller than the amount of money that they borrow. Chicago actually paid more interest than what they... So not only are they issuing bonds, they're issuing high interest. Like, credit card, like 35% or something like that. It must be crazy that they paid $1 billion of interest and they only borrowed $709 million.
Yeah.
And the taxpayers paid for all of that. Taxpayers paid for $1.7 billion. So this is something that's so crazy because it's like you're paying for police brutality.
Right.
You are.
Yeah.
And this is something, like I said, whether you are black, white, whether you are affluent, whatever, this is something that everybody should be concerned about, because from an economic standpoint, why do you want to pay for rogue cops? Why do you want to pay for that?
You're paying for misconduct.
You're not only paying for it, but you're paying for the interest as well.
Yeah.
So, all right. So now that's the third layer, but here's where it gets really spicy. It's like, all right. So we talking about they. Bonds and they.
They.
So who's they, right?
Let's get to they.
So it turns out that large banks, investment firms, Wall Street investment firms, small regional banks, all play a part in issuing these bonds. Some well-known companies that have played a part, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America.
Bank of Montreal.
So they issue police brutality bonds to towns, cities, municipalities. The cities pay them over the course of time to loan them money so they can pay victims, and they actually are making money. So these companies are making money off of police brutality.
Right.
Because they're getting paid interest on the bonds.
And there's a lot of fees that go into doing these bonds, right? So like we said, there's underwriter fees that the banks are going to collect the money on that every time they issue them. So they're going to, every time that there's a case that is a settlement, there's underwriting fees, the bank gets paid.
So not only do you have the first layer that's making money is insurance companies for the liability claims, because insurance companies always make money. There's no way around it. Like, that's how insurance companies operate, right? So now you're paying insurance premiums. So there's insurance policies in place for police brutality. They make money. But even bigger than that, now you have financial institutions that are making money off police brutality bonds, off the interest.
Right.
So, okay. Now we have to look at, now it makes more sense why nothing has changed in the last 50 years. If anything, it's gotten worse, right? Because there's no incentive for it to stop. Not only do the police do not pay themselves, they have no financial responsibility for it at all. So that's one thing.
Like, that's crazy.
The insurance companies is actually making money on it. And now banks and financial institutions are making money on it. So if nobody's losing money as far as the cops, and people are making millions and billions of dollars,
right,
why would there ever be a real incentive
to stop,
to change police brutality?
And in all that, right, if this was chess, right, if we said that those are all the players, we got to figure out where are we at on that chessboard.
Just pawns getting moved around. That's the reality of it. And most people don't realize it. So it's like, all right, okay, okay. So, and there's different ways how cities use it. Like, some cities use bonds as like part of their budget. Some cities use it as an emergency option. Some cities use it after the liability insurance cuts in, but they're still getting used, right? Yeah. So it's like whole economic strategy. This is when we talk about politics, and this is something that people need to be aware of. So it's like, we're not just going to give you the problem. Hopefully somebody's listening, a bunch of people are listening.
Yeah.
And
our community's listening, so.
And you never know what somebody can do with the information, right? So now it's like, how I see it, we're talking about, we're in a political season, right? And you're asking these politicians, you're demanding these politicians for these things, right? But you, a lot of times you're asking them and you're demanding them for wrong things. You're asking them to put body cameras on these people. It doesn't matter.
But that's crazy. I'm glad you said body cameras, because in my notes, I was thinking like, body cameras, that comes out of the budget too, right? So like, when you say you want these things, they have to get the money to pay for it. So there needs to be a budget that needs to come. So you're paying for those body cameras if you want them. You know what I'm saying? So like, we got to think in sense like, all right, everything that you're asking for,
you're going to pay for.
You're going to pay for.
So the real, in my opinion, if you want to take a political route, I'm not opposed to politics. If you want to take a political route, right, real legislation that can really make a difference is first hitting police officers when it hurts. So getting cuts from the pension funds, right? The police unions across America is probably the strongest, if not one of the strongest unions
PBA.
In every city of America. They hardly can ever lose it. They can go to jail and still keep their pension. They hardly ever get fired. Even if they do an egregious act, they like get put on like punishment or death duty a lot
but
of times.
But even when they get fired, so that there's a fine line there, right? And that's where the law comes in. It's like, they can get fired for the offense, but the offense happened while they were on duty. You see what I'm saying? So like, you're still paying for it because it happened while they were part of the force. They could have been fired after it, but they still were doing that crime while they were on it. So technically, your taxpayer's gonna pay for it.
Yeah, so actionable items, my opinion. I'm sure you have some ideas. Cutting pension funds, right? For every 100 million that has to be paid out, 10% of the pension fund gets depleted. Yeah. That's an incentive for cops not to be, because you gotta realize this. A lot of times, this is the reality of it. Racism is real, right? So you're not gonna be able to change. You're not gonna be able to change somebody's mind. If somebody looks at you as less than a human being, somebody looks at you, you can't change that by doing training, and none of that's gonna work. But what people respect more than anything else is money. Mm-hmm. So if they realize that, look, this is gonna affect my money, you're gonna think twice about doing something. So let's say it's 100. For every $100 million, 10% of the total pension for everybody, because it got to be across the board. Everybody's got to feel the pain, gets deducted. Now the good cops is going to be even more vigilant, mm-hmm. and the bad cops is even going to think about it, because it's like, I'm not just going to do nothing crazy because now I'm going to get affected pay.
Yeah, I think the second way we can go about this is having them have individual responsibility. Rather than having the taxpayer pay for it, let it come out of, like you said, let's affect the money. Let it come out of their own individual pension plans. Let it come out of their own individual salaries if there is misconduct, right? If you saw that happening, you would be less likely to commit any type of egregious offense if you know it was going to cost you, right? Because you got to feed your family too.
It's just like the NFL or any other thing. You get fined.
Exactly.
Right? You get fined. You do something in the NFL, you do an illegal hit, you get a $50,000 paycheck. Cut in your paycheck. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like you said, cops, if you get found guilty, if you have to pay, they're settling it, right? Mm-hmm. So if for every settlement that you have to pay for, we're going to take $20,000 out of your salary. We're going to cut your salary by 25% for the year. Yeah. Or, so you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now it's like,
no overtime pay, all types of things.
So now it's like, okay, you have a financial incentive put in place not to do these things, right? Yeah. Another thing that they can do is that they can deduct it from the overall police budget,
right?
Which will lower the police budget, which that hurts them, right? Another thing that they can do that I just thought about is, I don't understand why cops don't have E&O insurance. Like, there's millions of cops all across the country, from every from doctors, financial advisors. Doctors pay so much money in malpractice insurance. So much money. Like, a doctor might pay $30,000 a year in malpractice insurance. He might not ever do anything wrong. Right. But that's the cost of being a doctor. Because when a doctor does do something wrong, it's all pulled together. Just like a financial advisor has E&O insurance, which stands for errors and omission insurance. So the financial advisor might not do anything wrong his whole entire career. But if something happens and, you know, a complaint is filed, then they have E&O insurance, which every financial advisor has to carry E&O insurance, right? Mm-hmm. So now, like any other type of insurance, you got millions of people putting it towards the pot. It comes out of that. So why can't cops have E&O insurance? Yeah. $200 out of every single cop's paycheck has to go to E&O, malpractice, whatever you want to call it, insurance. So now you've taken $200 a paycheck out of millions of cops' paychecks. That alone could probably pay for at least half of these police brutality cases.
Probably more than that.
It's going to come out of y'all. Like,
right. Just because what you said is so important, that it'll be more than that, right? Because we're not talking about every city in America. We're talking about overpopulated cities with police presence, right? So if there's a large police presence in that city, then these things are more likely to happen. And where those things happen, in the cities that they're predominantly people that look like myself and Shadi, straight up.
Yeah, and when you're talking about voting, once again, when you're talking about voting,
that's important.
You have to, it's not good enough just to vote. It's not good enough just to, you have to enact real policy change. Like, these are real policy changes.
Before they can even vote, right? Like, I know everybody, this is a year that the census has come out. You have to fill that out, y'all. Like, you got to fill that out. Fill out the census, let them know who you are, so then you can actually vote and actually get elected officials in the positions who have your best interest in mind, man. I've seen people with this. It's like, I got my senses, whatever. What is that? I don't even know what to do with that.
Another thing is that it could be legislation put in place where no financial institution can benefit. And if they are going to issue bonds, it has to be 0% interest. That way, it's really no incentive You're not going to issue a bond if it's 0% interest. So it's going to be extremely harder, because now it's just easy. Like, all right, we get in trouble. We go to Wells Fargo. They're going to cut us a check. We're going to pay it back. It's not coming from us. Yeah. It's coming from taxpayers anyway. So who cares? Wells Fargo doesn't care because they're making money. The police department doesn't care because it's coming from the taxpayers. The only one that's fronting this bill is taxpayers. So not only are taxpayers paying the salary of cops, they're paying for the mistakes of cops as well.
Yeah, on a daily basis. And like that's the part that people really got to understand. Like if you're paying taxes, yeah, it's cool. Like, all right, we're paying for schools, but yeah, you're also paying for misconduct. Straight up.
That's a fact, man. So, you know, it's a crazy system. We can go on and on about this, but like I said, and it's like for those that's saying like, all right, we can't vote. We shouldn't vote. I'm not telling anybody what to do politically. We're not a political show. I'm just saying as far as instead of just giving you problems, these are some real life solutions that you can. Now, how you go about it is up to you. Like I said, we provide the information.
Applications on you.
You know, if you're a young leader, or if you're an old leader, and if you spark something, whether it's through community mobilization, whether it's through boycotts of these institutions that issue these bonds, whether it's through political action, that can be debated for a different day, a different show. But you know, the first thing is to be aware of what's going on. So yeah.
We went over that like all last week. We just kept saying that over and over. Everybody's like, knowledge is power. The more you know, the more you know. Yo, the real issue is that knowledge is power when it's applied. So now that you have the knowledge, we provided some knowledge for you. Hopefully we peeled back some layers that you were unaware of. Now it's up to you. Now what do you do with this? What do you do with it? You got, where do you apply it?
That's a fact. So in the next segment, we're going to switch topics, but stay in the same lane. And we're going to talk about investing. We're going to talk about making money, but from a different twist. All right, so now we're gonna go into investing. That's what we, you know, people always tune into. Shout out to Ian. Market Mondays, number one stock show on YouTube.
A whole vibe.
Shout out to Wall Street Trapper, bro. Shout out to everybody that we had on the show to talk about investing. Shout out to Quentin Martin, the first stock market show that we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
That was over a year ago. So we talk about investing a lot, right? But it's just like now we're in a time of being socially conscious. We're in a time of actually, you know, and it doesn't, everybody's not socially conscious, but I'm just saying as far as a lot of people are starting to become socially conscious. So yeah. A lot of people grapple because we did a show last week, shout out to Mison, about, you know, the prison system.
Yep.
And it's like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel comfortable investing in companies that's invested in prison, or it's like now it's police brutality and you're finding out there's a whole financial play behind that.
I think the episode opened the doors because like a lot of people didn't even realize that. And shout out to my son because I see him on the field and he was in Kentucky with the Breonna Taylor case. And now he's in Minnesota with the George Floyd case too. So shout out to my son who's doing incredible work.
Shout out to my son for sure. So, all right. One thing that we have not talked about so far on the podcast is socially responsible investing.
SRI.
Yes, socially responsible investing. So this is an interesting conversation because it's actually a really big thing. And it's been around for a very long period of time. But so there are investors, right, that have social hangups about different things, whether it be about the environment,
mm-hmm.
whether it be about tobacco, mm-hmm. whether it be about gambling, whether it be about
war. War's another one.
Weapons of mass destruction,
yep.
Prison,
mm-hmm.
Companies that benefit off of prison.
Health.
Healthcare.
Anybody investing in tobacco, alcohol.
Women. A bunch of different things that people, so it's like a lot of times it's like, you know, some people, and I'm not taking a side either way. Some people's like, you know, I'm going to invest and just get my bread, get my money, and it is what it is. And then some people was like, you know, I kind of want to still invest, make money. I believe in that.
Yeah.
But I still have some moral issues.
Yeah, your moral compass is going on.
That I don't necessarily want to invest in certain companies.
So, that's fair.
Yeah, no, I'm, that's like fair. I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
So for that, there's actually funds. Now, like I said, the financial, when you start to learn about more about everything, it's like ice cream. There's a different flavor for every single person. Yeah. So there's actually funds, ETFs and mutual funds in place for socially conscious investors.
Yeah, I had to peel back the layers on this because I was like, what? You texted to me. I'm like, I never heard of it. All right, let's do some research.
Yeah, for sure. So you know, there's a few, like I said, so those are the different topics like environment, gambling, tobacco, alcohol, prison, social justice, and religion. That's a whole different conversation. We're going to talk about that. But so just to kind of give you a few, there's, ESGU.
Mm-hmm.
ESGU is an ETF, a socially conscious ETF, that does not, invest in any company that has anything to do with weapons, tobacco, jails, even though they actually did have a private prison in their ETF, and then they found out and it was a mistake and they kicked it off. So it's like, even that, it's like, you know, you find out, you try to get the kosher hot dog.
Yeah,
and
the morality police.
Like, it was made in a pig slaughtering house. It's like, it's so crazy. But that's an ETF, and that ETF has actually done pretty well, you know, considering, because a lot of times it's the performance of these things aren't as high as other ones. Mm-hmm. But that one has done pretty well. Its 52-week high is $75, and its 52-week low was $40 a month ago. So in March it was $40. Right now it's $68. So it's up pretty nicely in a two month time frame. Another one is SSGA, which is a woman diversity ETF. They like invest in companies that hire a majority women or have women CEOs. It's like, it's focused around women.
Yeah.
Here's another one called CRBN, which is a low carbon, environmental friendly ETF. Right. So there's a variety. Like, you can just Google socially conscious funds, and like kind of just play around with it in different filters, and you can see, like, you know, what kind of fund you're looking for, with the situation.
It's interesting, man. It's interesting because I'm thinking to myself, like, how many investors, right, are not willing to compromise their values to make money? And when I think of investors, I'm like, you know what? I think the moral thing is, like, they just want to make money.
Yeah.
They don't put everything else aside.
Well, I think, you know, people, and myself included, you know, I'm not preaching from the choir.
Yeah.
We can conveniently get blind.
Right.
Conveniently get blind. Because it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might see something, and it's like, it's not that bad.
Yeah. It's like if you were anti-war, right? And it was like, hey, Bowen's at $97, right? But I don't want to invest in any company that has deals with any making machines or any type of thing that could help in the development of weapons of mass destruction or helping war. There goes that morale. It's like, wait, well, this is a good buy, right? This is a good buy at $97. Is it worth it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think most people are thinking, let's just make money.
Oh, they just don't really think about it. Not really thinking about it from that standpoint. It's like, yeah, you know, Boeing has government contracts. Are you thinking that maybe that government plane is sending a drone and killing an innocent child in Syria? You're not really looking too far into it. You could. It's available.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot easier
to turn the blind
to
eye.
Just turn the blind.
Yeah,
turn the blind. This is what happens in a variety of different things.
Yeah.
You don't want to see certain things. Like, you're walking down the alley, you see what's going on, and you turn around and you walk the other way.
A lot of times.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
I mean, for your own safety, a lot of times.
And like I said, I'm not here to shame. We're not here to shame anybody.
Nah.
But I'm just saying, we just want to provide some information for some people,
right,
that may want to take a higher level of morality.
Right.
In that standpoint, and may want to take a higher level of weeding out their investments. Just give them options. That's the thing with Earning Leaf. We just here to just provide information. Like, a lot of times people don't fully understand that, and they don't even know that's exists. An option.
Exactly. So it's like, there are a lot of people in this, I guess, the quote unquote woke stage, right? So it's like, yo, if you're woke, let it be in all assets of your life, right? Not just in your individual things that you're doing on day to day, but even in your investing. And this is one of those things, like you said, prior to this, I wasn't thinking about it. I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then that brings it to another conversation. We talked to Chelsea again. Shout out to Mike Song. Last week's episode was about the prison system. We didn't fully go into the finances of publicly traded companies.
Mm.
But so there's prison stocks, like private prison companies that are traded on the stock exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So a few of them are CoreCivic, which is CXW, and Geo Group, which is GEO. That's their symbol.
The crazy thing about CoreCivic, and this is crazy that you said that, we didn't even speak about this, but Daryl Freeman, shout out to Daryl Freeman. If you don't know Daryl Freeman, go Google him. I don't tell you his background, but a very successful man in the world of technology. He called me. He said, "Yo, I love that episode. The CEO of CoreCivic is my next door neighbor."
Oh, yeah?
He was like, "Yo, it's a big business. And I'm glad y'all talked about it."
He loved Mike Song's episode?
Yep, loved it. Sent me the message, and I was like, wow, that's incredible. He was like, yo, it's a big business. It's a city. Literally, you got to think of these prisons, these private prisons, as cities. They need everything that a city needs. And when you look at it like that, it's like, damn, he's right.
Yeah.
And his next door neighbor is the guy who is in charge of that.
Well, there you have it. So, yeah, those are two private prison companies. Now, the crazy thing about those stocks, so it's been, even on that episode, Mike Song had said that private prison stocks skyrocketed after Trump got elected. That is true. Both of those companies, I think, went up over 100% in the year following Trump's election. But they've actually been down for the last, like, 3 years, 4 years. Like, their five-year chart is not really impressive, which is a good thing. I mean,
right.
You know, but just wanted to throw that out there. We have to tell both sides of the story. So as an investment, they haven't really, they're not booming. They're not booming right now.
Which is good, which means that there's less people going to prison.
Well, I don't know if there's less people going to prison, but for whatever reason, their stock is just not doing well. There could be a variety of different reasons why their stock isn't doing well, but the stock has not really performed. But what a lot of people don't fully understand is that a lot of people are invested in, especially CoreCivic, up until last year at the very least, a lot of people are invested in CoreCivic without even knowing it. Because through your 401k, through your IRA, through your pension plan. So Vanguard and BlackRock were the two biggest holders, I think they still are, of private prisons stocks. BlackRock, Vanguard, two of the biggest mutual fund companies. Yes. Everybody loves Vanguard because they have, you know, this is what I'm saying. It's a lot of,
you talk about
it's a lot of right and wrong in yeah. life, right? People love Vanguard because it's like, it's a no load fund and it's pretty much free to invest and it's cheap. And they're the biggest holder of prison stocks, by the way. They also have a lot of 401k accounts. BlackRock has a lot of 401k accounts, right? So CoreCivic, CXW, was in a lot of these, probably still are, in a lot of these 401k makeups. Because when you invest in a 401k, nobody knows what they're investing in a 401k. You have probably three, like, 401k is like a menu, and they give you, like, 20 different options of how to invest, right? Like 20 different funds. Now, within one fund, there's, like, 100 different stocks inside of a fund. So if you have, like, three different funds, you have, like, 300 different stocks inside of your 401k that you're invested in.
Yeah, you could do a research on all of them?
Now, I guarantee you nobody knows any of those companies. Nobody knows any of those companies, right? Because you never ask. It's not like just listed as soon as when you find, they just tell you the name of the company. So it'll be like Vanguard 2020 Fund or Vanguard High Interest Bond Fund or Vanguard Small Cap Value Fund, right?
Yeah.
That's the name of the fund. But inside of the Small Cap Value Fund is about 140 different stocks.
Yeah. That's when you get that big pamphlet that comes to your house, like that probably nobody ever goes through.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of these stocks, and you're like, all right, well, did I make money or not? Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody's individually looking into 140 different stocks and then actually researching those stocks to see if they align with their values and moralities. It's just not happening.
No, it's not. But you can't say that you didn't know now, at least, because we told you.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're interested in it, you can do some further research, but so I just wanted to talk about the prison thing because we did speak about that last week.
Yeah, and there's some other things to know about these SRIs. They tend to have a higher fee than regular funds. And so I was like, well, it doesn't even make sense. Why? Well, the mutual fund has, the person who's providing the fund actually has to do more research. So there's more work that the person has to do, right? If they're going to do things that match your core values and your moralities, it's like, they have to find ethical things that will work for you. So there's a little bit more research. So the fees tend to be a little bit higher. And there's a site that you can go if you're into social social responsible investing. Socialfunds.com is the website. So you can go research on yourself. So that's one thing that you should do. Obviously, do the research and then know your values. A lot of people don't know their own values. So like when they're trying to invest, it's like, well, I believe in this. Know your own values before you're going to go into this type of fund. All right, so do the research. I just gave you the website. And another thing is, a lot of times, and we've said this.
What's the name of the website again?
Socialfunds.com. So you can go there on your own leisure and do some research there. But one of the things that it brought to my mind is, like, we talk about diversifying when we're investing, right? But, like, this type of fund doesn't allow you to do that, right? Because if you're aligning everything with your values, isn't everything kind of going to be the same if you're investing?
No, you can invest in a variety of different companies that still align with your values. Like, you know what I'm saying? It could be different industries. Like, it's just harder, like you said, because it's like you really got to go through every single fine comb. Because it's like, all right, you're investing in a tech company, but is this tech company providing software for weapons of mass destruction?
Right.
So now it's so much more intensive research that you have to do, which is the fund manager's job. But you can still invest in a variety. Like, you can invest in tech. You can invest in, you know, farming. You can invest in financial institutions. Like, you can invest in different companies. It's just that those different companies have to be in line with what you feel comfortable with.
I would imagine that these funds are managed by very, very small companies. This is, it feels like a niche thing that, like, very small companies do.
No, actually, Vanguard has.
Well, right. You're right.
Vanguard. Okay.
That's a big one.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But so going to what you just said as far as the niche. So there's different layers of socially responsible funds. Well, like I said, Earn Your Leisure, we're just here to provide as much information as we possibly can to every, because there's so many different types of people in this world. So you got the socially conscious people that don't want to invest in those things. But religion is a huge thing in this world. And now you have religious people who can't or do not want to invest in certain things because of their religion. So now you have funds for that. It's fun for everything. So you have Christian funds, like Guidestone is a Christian fund, and that's dedicated to invest in companies that have core Christian values. Kind of a vague situation, but you know, that's what that's designed for. Okay. You can do your, do some research and kind of figure out.
Okay.
Do you have Ave Maria, which is a Catholic fund? There's a few Catholic funds. So Ave Maria is Rising Dividend Fund. That's a one of their popular funds, and that's a Catholic fund. So, you know, Catholics, they're really big on, like, you know, abortion and a couple other things. That's like real sticklers for the Catholic Church. So they only invest in companies that align with Catholic values.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so just coming off the month of Ramadan, we have a large listenership all over the world, and that includes America, which is their huge Muslim population. There's a huge Muslim population in Africa, huge Muslim population in Europe, of course, the Middle East. So we have to say assalamu alaikum to all of the Muslims that tune in. And one thing about Islam is that that's actually, you know, part of the religion is Sharia law. So people have a misunderstanding a lot of times of what Sharia law is. We're not gonna go into a full, but part of it is investing. Like, there's actually guidelines, so it's not really up for, like, vague interpretation. Like, if you really are a hardliner in the religion, there's financial guidelines of how you can invest. So, like, interest is outlawed in Muslim countries.
Okay.
So shout out to Inez, our good friend. She's from Egypt. And I was over a house yesterday, and she was telling me that there's no mortgages in Egypt. No mortgages in Egypt. You just buy the land. So interest is outlawed. You're not allowed to charge anybody interest. That's one thing, right? Okay. Of course, if you're familiar with the religion, you know that, you know, alcohol is outlawed. A variety of different factors. Gambling. Okay. There's no gambling. Gambling is outlawed. So in Islam, you have halal and haram. Haram is forbidden. Halal is allowable. That's, like, deemed okay. So now you have...
I got that. I actually looked that up. That was crazy. On the Jay Electronica album.
Okay. So now you have halal funds. One of the most popular funds is called the Amana Fund. So the Amana Fund is a mutual fund based around Sharia law, which is halal and allows Muslims that if you want to follow those guidelines, that you can actually invest. And the Amana Fund only invests in halal companies, meaning companies that don't partake in gambling, companies that don't partake in interest-bearing accounts, companies that don't partake in alcohol, a variety of other things as well. So that's something that is a big play as well, because, like I said, I mean, no matter what religion you follow, if you're Jewish, they have kosher funds as well.
Right.
But it's the same thing. Kosher and halal kind of the same thing as far as, like, the meaning of it, where, like, Jewish people have, like, if you're a strict hardline Jew, you only really supposed to indulge in kosher. But kosher is more than just food.
Right. I think that's a crazy misconception that people only think it's a food thing.
It's the same thing with halal. Like, you see the halal guys or the halal truck. So most people, when they think about halal, especially, like, if you live in New York City or, like, a major, like, you're pretty popular. Halal food And that is a certain way where the food, the animals like are, you know, slaughtered and you say a prayer and there's certain things. It's the same thing with kosher, but that's only part of it. So like with the kosher, that's only part of it. Like, you know, as far as like the investment, same kind of idea. And like I said, that's true with a variety of different religions where it's like, you know, depending on what religion you subscribe to, that might, you know, have a play in how you choose to invest.
Yeah.
So those are all things to think about as well.
I know, and they're listening like, yo, damn, Shotty sound like a history professor. This dude literally studies religion, like no joke. And anybody that knows, has ever had a conversation with him, they know like he loves talking about religion. Shout out to Val, who always brings it up.
Shout out to Val.
She always talks about how you've taught us so much about the world. But yeah, I know this is one of your sweet points.
You know,
man.
History has been my favorite subject since I was a little kid.
Definitely.
I took a history of religion class when I was in college and I never studied, never got one book and got an A+. Because I just already knew so much about religion and all religions. I'm just fascinated by, you know, I think it's interesting to learn about Christianity, Islam, Judaism,
yeah.
Buddhism, Sikh. I have friends that are all different religions. And, you know, for me personally, I don't think that there's any one religion that is reigns supreme. It's whatever, you know, you feel comfortable with. I'm not here to judge, but I just, you know, I always found religion interesting because I realized how touchy it is. And mm-hmm. It's like people die over their religion. People will kill you over their religion. And it's like, you can't play around. That's why we don't really talk about religion too much.
Yeah, some people don't want to be separated from.
You can't play around with religion. So yeah. It's like, it's interesting. It's interesting to me. It's fascinating. So I try to learn as much about religion as I possibly can. Because I feel like a lot of times, most of the time, we follow whatever religion we're born into.
Right.
And that's not really a belief system. That's more superstition. When you believe in something that you don't fully understand, it's superstition.
You've been bred to believe that.
Stevie Wonder said that. So now when you have a full understanding of things, not only does it open your perspective and make you more open to the world, but at least even at the thing that you do fully believe in, you can actually believe in it.
Right.
As opposed to just doing it because everybody in your family does it, and you feel like you're going to be cursed if you don't do it.
You've done the research on your own. You've allowed yourself to critically think. You've allowed yourself to analyze, and like that's the goal in life, right? Allow yourself and allow others to freely think and freely choose. You know what I'm saying? Like I think that is, as an educator, like that's the number one thing I'm looking for. Can I allow these students to critically think for themselves? And we should have that same mindset when it comes to our family and our children.
That's a fact. So the last thing with the stocks, this is pretty disturbing, and it's all a financial play. So now people might want to invest in black-owned companies. It's like, buy black.
Who are they?
Invest in black. But from an investing standpoint, it's like, what if I want to invest money in the stock market, but I want to invest in black-owned companies?
A lot of people want to do that, right? We buy black. Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to We Buy Black. Those are my people. Good people.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's like a black-owned fund. I couldn't find any. Like a black ETF or a black mutual fund that only has black companies. I couldn't find any.
No. Yeah, no, and maybe there are some. I couldn't find any either, but maybe there are some.
Well, I think the reason why there are none that I could find is that out of 4,000 stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, 12 are black companies. 12. That is so disturbing. That's a whole different conversation. You're talking about economic, and that's what people don't fully understand. It's like black people are so far behind. It's just, it's amazing. It's like running a marathon and you like 23 miles in and you just started the race. And somebody else is 23 miles in. So it's like.
Yeah. We're on a treadmill.
That's not even.
There's a marathon going on. We're on a treadmill.
That's not even 1%.
Yeah.
That's less than 1%.
12.
12 out of 4,000 companies are publicly traded.
Yeah.
So we're talking about economic empowerment, and it's like a lot of times it's on a small scale. When you start looking at it from a large scale, as far as like companies and billions of dollars and things of that nature, and like publicly traded companies, there's 12 out of 4,000.
Yeah.
Like diversity.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And during the research, I actually, you know, I was proud to find out that I'm actually invested in one. Not invested, but I do business with one at least. And I'm looking at the other ones. I'm like, I don't even know these. So you want to run down a few?
Yeah, I got four that people might know. Citizens Bank, with their symbol is CZBS.
Yeah, that's who I actually have my mortgage through. So Not that I'm invested in it, but we do business together.
Yeah, Citizens is a black-owned bank.
Yeah.
4-1, like the number 4-1, and that is formerly used to be Urban One, which is a radio. No, it's Urban One. 4-1 is Urban One, and it used to be Radio One.
Okay.
It's a radio syndicate.
No, no.
RLJ, which is a lodging company owned by Robert Johnson, former owner of BET, former owner of the Bobcats.
Yep. First billionaire, first black billionaire.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then Carver Bank, another black-owned bank. There's a few black-owned banks.
Yeah.
Carver Bank.
Which is encouraging that we have black-owned banks that are being publicly traded.
That's important.
Yeah.
You want to list a few others?
Well, we have the same ones. Right. Yeah.
So not only is it discouraging that there's only 12, even more so discouraging than that, it's like you look at these charts, looked at all their charts, none of them have good charts. None of them, you look at Ian's technical analysis would be buys as far as if you want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing well. As far as on the stock, their stock has not done well for 5 years. Like you look at the 5-year chart and it's not good.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough to find their... A lot of these companies have a 10-year chart or a 20, or even sometimes it goes back to the history, 30-year chart. A lot of these companies, that doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. It's just, that's something just to, like, as far as working forward to something.
But that's, a lot of that has to do with a lot of systematic things that were put in place so that it couldn't exist. We don't want to ignore that fact, right? So having our own private-owned company or even having a black-owned bank, systematically in America for years, that wasn't even a possibility. So there are reasons why we don't have a long history of it. So let's not ignore that fact. But like I said, when we go back to the history of some of these companies that we look at, we do look at the 10-year chart. We do look at 20-year or the history of the company's chart. And that's just not available right now for these companies.
Yeah. So, that's some information if you're interested in socially responsive funds, religious funds, black-owned companies. Just a different take on investing, because we talk about investing a lot. So we just want to just give people a different take on it. And you can kind of do whatever you want with the information. But, hopefully that shines some light, good and bad, because everything's not going to be a good story.
Yeah.
Sometimes, it's just the news is just that we have to just report what it is. And it's not always it's not always encouraging, but sometimes you need stuff that's not encouraging to encourage you.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of the information, especially with the black-owned publicly traded company, hopefully somebody listening to this can make it a goal and have their company be the stock that everybody wants to invest in, not just a token company that's on the stock exchange that nobody's invested in that is just going nowhere. But my goal is to have a publicly traded company. My goal is to be bigger than Amazon, bigger than Apple, bigger than Google.
Yeah, we need that type of aspiration in our community. Why not?
Somebody got to do it.
Yeah. We make a lot of those companies what they are.
That's
like, we can make our own.
That's a fact. All right. So in the next segment, we're going to bring it home with some marketing. All right. So we're going to wrap it up with some conversation about marketing around social injustice, social issues, things of that nature. So. Yeah. You want to take the lead on that?
Yeah, man. I mean, we've seen companies in the past, especially Nike, when they stood by Colin Kaepernick and had his whole campaign during the social injustice and him taking a knee. And we saw the backlash from that, from pretty much half of the country didn't agree with it. And in this day and age with the George Floyd case, we've seen that these companies are taking a stance again. Not only is Nike doing for the first time, don't do it campaign, which is talks about don't turn a blind eye to racism, don't turn a blind eye to police brutality. And it's something that I've been expressing all week, really. Like, if you don't stand by me, if you care about me, if you care about Shadi, and you don't feel angered and outraged by what's happening, then do you really love us? You know what I'm saying? So not to say that Nike does, but the fact that they've even spoke up, I know LeBron James has done a tremendous job about speaking up about these issues and continues to. And there's a lot of other athletes that do as well. But now we see that Adidas has decided they want to jump in the campaign and showed unity by, I think they tweeted what Nike had put up, which was dope. I thought it was dope to see those two companies come together. But then Reebok, which I thought was probably one of the better messages that I've seen. And their campaign was, without the black community, Reebok wouldn't exist. Without the black community, America wouldn't exist. And I was like,
the world wouldn't exist.
The world wouldn't exist. But they put a, America wouldn't exist. But we know that the world wouldn't exist. So the country that we live in obviously was built on the back of our ancestors. So to hear, you know, these companies say that, and more companies need to say that, right? It's not just because like, oh, wait, they were looting Target. Now Target should make a statement. No, this is happening in Minnesota, the headquarters of your company. You should have a statement, right? You should be saying something. You should be standing with these people, because an injustice to me should be an injustice to you, right?
Injustice to some is an injustice to all. And I feel like if you have a responsibility to say something, it's a thin line, because it's like some people say, like, all right, you don't want to exploit a situation,
right?
Right. But also you have to address it. You have to address it.
Yeah. So, silence almost, like, I keep seeing this, and we've been saying that for a long time. Silence in most cases equals complicity, right? So if you're not saying anything, then it means you're complicit, right? That you must not feel a way, or you agree with what is happening. So anybody in this, especially in this past week or so, and for years, because we, like I said, this has been going on. Like, we were born into this. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been born into this. We done seen police brutality from 1991 with Rodney King up until this week. And it's like, this isn't new to us. So for people to continuously ignore it, continuously have no stance on it, or continuously try to victimize the victims, that happens a lot. Like, we victimize the victims of these tragedies. It's crazy to me. So it's good to see that some companies are stepping up. I think more do.
I think every company needs to step up and say something. And the companies that don't step up and say something,
take note.
The entertainers and athletes and things. And I wanted to talk about this too, because it's like, a lot of times people don't understand. It's like, when I put this on Instagram, it's like, having money does not equate to having freedom. And we learned
there's
that
a big
difference. You know, we made a lot of relationships with NFL players, and we was hanging out with an NFL player last summer, and he was telling us, around the time with Colin Kaepernick, like, most NFL players are not wealthy. They're like, you know, 500,000, maybe 700,000, but in the grand scheme of things, that's not real money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they can't afford to lose their job. So he was like, his owner, the owner of that team that he was playing on, came out and said she didn't want anybody taking a knee.
Mm-hmm.
They don't agree with that.
Better not.
Yeah, pretty much. Saying like,
straight up.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Jerry Jones said that.
You shouldn't do it. Yeah, he did say that. And
and what did Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott do?
They stood up.
Fell in line.
Yep. And so one of his teammates actually decided to take a knee. And not only was he released from the team the next day, his father, who was a bus driver or some kind
of totally different state,
civic job in a different state, was fired. So this is the kind of pressure that a lot of these entertainers and athletes. So it's like, when you're looking at an entertainer, first of all, I have an issue with entertainers and athletes being looked at as leaders.
Oh my!
And anybody knows me know I love entertainers and athletes. But it's like, if you devote your life to entertaining us, or if you devote your life to being an athlete. I wasn't really mad what Michael Jordan said about, like, my main focus in my life was being a basketball player. That's not really an issue for me. The issue is that we expect him to be a political leader.
Right.
There are political leaders. There are doctors. There are scientists. There are financial people. So it's like, yeah. I'm not saying that we shouldn't celebrate our athletes and entertainers. The problem comes in when they are celebrated 1,000 times more than our engineers,
right,
our doctors, our lawyers, our financial leaders, our politicians, because now you marginalize those people who really do have something to say.
Exactly. And that's what Mike said too, to his credit. Not that I agree or disagree with it, but he was like, I didn't speak on it because I don't have enough knowledge.
I
play ball.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna make myself look crazy. I'm not a politician. I'm not a doctor, a scientist. I'm a basketball player.
Yeah, we're not asking, yo, Aaron Judge, what do you think? Like, no, that's not what, you're here to play baseball.
Yeah.
Play baseball. Yeah, you can have an opinion. If you like to speak up, great. I'm not counting on you to speak up.
And that only happens in our community. Malcolm X said that over 50 years ago, only in the black community, when issues come up, do athletes and entertainers take the front line. And it's nothing wrong with that, because some of our greatest athletes, going LeBron James, kudos to him.
Right.
Muhammad Ali, kudos. Sammy Davis Jr. had a lot to say.
Jackie Robinson. There's a long list.
It's a bunch of people that have taken political stances, whether it's through a variety of different actions.
Mm-hmm.
And we salute that. I'm not trying to downplay entertainers or athletes. What I'm saying is that stop putting so much emphasis, stop over celebrating these people and over having over expectations for these. Like, you're expecting people who are not qualified 9 times out of 10 to speak on your behalf just because they're famous, right? So it's like, if we had political figures, if we had business figures, if we celebrated other people who are more qualified, mm-hmm. who dedicated their life to learning about issues that can speak intelligently, if we celebrated them and elevated them, and yeah. we do sometimes, like I said, Earn Your Legion is a perfect example of that. You know, we definitely appreciate all of the support that we have gotten, but I'm just saying, just to keep it in perspective during these times, is that not only do you should you pay attention of who's saying what, but stop putting all of your expectations on people that are here to entertain. That's their job, to entertain us.
Right.
So as an entertainer, you are here to 9 times out of 10 entertain. You can't expect that person, and you shouldn't be looking to that person to be your political or economic voice.
Right.
Be your own economic voice. Be your own political voice.
We have the power to do it. We have the knowledge to do it. Right? It makes no sense why we shouldn't do it, why we're not doing it. Right? We need to celebrate, like you said, celebrate the people who actually are doing the work. Like Tamika Mallory, I saw her on CNN. I was like, yo, that's powerful. Like, I love her voice. She's speaking for a community. She's speaking for a generation of people. Like we said, what my son's doing, what Steven Jackson was doing in Minneapolis, I thought was incredible. He actually had a relationship, I came to find out, with George Floyd. These people are not looking for them. They're showing themselves to us.
And throughout history, and like I said, because like poets have always been celebrated. Like, we listen to rap every single day.
Yeah.
But there was never a point in time where Shakespeare was more powerful and more valued than Caesar. Right? Like, that's not how civilizations work.
Right.
That's not how civilizations work. There's levels, right? There's levels of appreciation. There's levels for people that should be elevated. And like I said, there's always been entertainers, athletes. There's always been poets, musicians, artists.
There will always be.
But the problem, and this is when civilizations start to fall, when Rome built the Colosseum, that's to keep people distracted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
entertain them.
So now you're entertaining these people and they lose track of what is really important.
Right. The gladiator becomes the figure.
Right. So, and that's done intentionally to keep you off what's really going on. And this is done throughout civilizations, throughout history.
Yeah.
So just pay attention to that. Keep that in mind and understand the level of appreciation that you have for these entertainers. You should have that same level of appreciation for other people. Because as Derek Falcon said, the entrepreneurs, the creatives are our future. This is why Earn Your Leash is so important.
Yeah.
The political figures, the entrepreneurs, the creatives, those are our future. Because as he said, I don't care how fast you can jump, how far you're going to retire.
Yeah.
An athlete's career is 4 to 5 years, if that.
If they're lucky.
A good rapper might have a 3-year run, if that. I don't care how many words you can put together, eventually you're not going to be hot no more.
Mm-hmm.
So what's more important than somebody getting in a booth and being able to put together words that can rhyme is somebody that can actually pay that person for that.
Economic empowerment, economic freedom. Like, that's it. Like, we have to get to that point where, like, yo, that needs to be celebrated. That needs to be elevated. And celebrate our educators, too. Like, they're the ones that are passing
it. Educators, for sure.
Right? They're passing the message on. They're passing the knowledge on. That can be later applied. So celebrate them the same way that we do a lot of these celebritons.
Sure. So, now, this was a dope episode. It's therapy for me. You know, it's like everybody else, you know, we're going through a lot right now. And it was just good just to get out here and get some information to the public. Hopefully, you guys were able to take some information from this.
That's the beauty of this, man.
And utilize it.
Yeah.
Utilize it.
That's the beauty of it. Like, we didn't have to say, like, yo, we're going to go do this. Like, all right, let's do it today.
We're not waiting. Like, I know, you know, people were like, hey, what's your, this is our stance. Like, we recorded it. It's for y'all now to apply some of the information and make some changes that y'all want to see.
For sure. So, Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we usually, you know, shout out what we're doing. But more importantly, since this is like a state of the emergency, state of the union for our community, we wanted to highlight some other people. And I think it would be more appropriate for us to acknowledge some other funds that are happening right now in America that could help our community. So you want to start with the first one?
You can start.
All right. So first and foremost, I did the research and decided, you know, the Minnesota Freedom Fund. I think everybody should be aware of what that is. A lot of is going on in Minneapolis right now. And what that fund does is it bails out people who've been arrested for political protests. So they're small bails, but a lot of people are being arrested because a lot of them are peacefully protesting. I don't want y'all to get confused and think that our people are rioting. No, a lot of our people are peacefully protesting. The media has portrayed it in a certain light. Yes, there are people who are doing other things, but for the people who are peacefully protesting, the Minnesota Freedom Fund bails those people out. And I think it would be appropriate for us to acknowledge the George Floyd fund, his family fund. It's a GoFundMe fund. If you could donate to that, it goes directly to the family. I know they're over $5 million already right now. We can't forget that is somebody's husband, that is somebody's father, that is somebody's son. And you know, his last words, and this hit me yesterday when we were doing the research, his last words were, you know, I can't breathe, and calling for his mom. I didn't even know that his mom had passed away 2 years ago. So that hit me so hard, knowing that in his last moments, he's crying to reach his mom, who had passed away literally to the day. I think the anniversary of her death was this week. So, you know, donate to that. We will be doing that, and we encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, stay safe out there. Stay encouraged. Stay healthy. And once again, rest in peace to all of the people that have fallen victim of police brutality throughout the last 300 years. 400 years in the United States of America and all over the world. Thank you, God, for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.